This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to the Wizarding World Lorecast. Join us as we take a deep dive into the lore of the fantastical world of the Harry Potter universe. Welcome back, witches and wizards, to another episode of the Wizarding World Lorecast. I am one of your hosts, Ben of Temeria, and always with me, as usual, is my other awesome co-host, Nina Kitty.
Hey, I like that new intro.
Sounds really good.
It does sound good, right? Freaking awesome. Found some royalty-free music, and it's like, this sounds epic.
Ooh, so good.
And joining us again this week is our awesome supporter, Bat Knight.
Hello there.
Bringing two fandoms combined into one. I mean, let's be honest. Harry Potter is just a suckier version of Star Wars.
Have you heard that video too?
Yes. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a video, a comedian that literally just makes the comparisons. And it's like, oh my God. What?
It's frightening.
It is. It's such a good trope to have for any type of fantasy, though, is that line.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That but is true.
This one in Star Wars definitely line up a little too good.
Yeah, and you know, I'm in both.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You just have your own favorite kind of thing you like.
Right. And
obviously, it's a orphan boy. With a stick of some sort.
I'm going to stop right there.
The young male orphan protagonist. I know way too much about this.
I've seen that video so many times. But this week we are going again rehashing an older topic that I did back before Nina joined the show. And since we are changing the dynamic of the show, why not revisit it? But before we get into the topic at hand, which is dueling for everybody, if you haven't seen the title of the episode, we have to talk about the news. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Universal finally officially announced their third theme park, Universal, or it's called Epic Universal, that's what it's called. Which is super exciting because we've known about it. They reported it. They like semi-announced it and like, hey, there's things going to be happening. We're adding new stuff. But they finally actually did a legitimate video. They are showcased the five new parks they're adding to the third park. The five themes they're doing. So really it's like, so the first one you go into is called Celestial. If I recall, which is going to be based on the constellations and the stars, and you deal with Kronos, and then you go through these different portals throughout the park to go into different themes. They have the Celestial Park, they have How to Train Your Dragon, Dark Pictures, so they're bringing back all the Universal monsters, which is super exciting. I forget, they have another original park as well, which I can't think of on the top of my head, if either of you know it.
I know they were doing the Wizarding World, they were doing the one that got me excited was the focus on the Universal Monsters.
Yep, they're doing Universal Monsters.
Because, yeah, big monster fan.
Like, so you know, the Dracula, Frankenstein,
Wolfman. My favorite.
I almost said a werewolf, but I knew that's not the name.
No. They're doing the How to Train Your Dragon one as well.
Yep.
Yep.
That one's got my wife excited.
Oh, I'm so pumped for that. And then
I mentioned the last time I was here, any and all things dragon.
And then Helios. I'm not sure if you said Helios.
Helios is the one I was missing. But then also the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which is going back to the We've known about it and we've talked about it on the show, but it is going to be set in the 1920s Paris, France. So part of the Fantastic Beasts storyline to where you get to visit that, but they are adding a new theme theme ride. So each park in the Wizarding World, so you have the Hogwarts Castle as a ride. When you go to Diagon Alley, you have Gringotts, which has its own ride. Well, for the Wizarding World for Paris, France, you get transported through the Flu Network to the Ministry of Magic, which is going to be its own ride, which is super exciting.
And I imagine that's going to be like the Gringotts Bank ride. Gringotts?
Yeah. Gringotts, I haven't ridden. I've only ridden the Hogwarts ride because that's the only ride they had when I went.
I did Gringotts.
I haven't been able to do Gringotts since I haven't been there in a decade. So I haven't been there since they expanded it. But yeah, they're adding a whole bunch of new things to it. Like they will have a monument. So how you go into the park, you go through the arch in Paris, and it literally will transport you into the Wizarding World part of France. So you'll get, and apparently there's you can see footage of them building it. There's a big monument with a hand with the Elder Wand. And supposedly each park is going to have its own unique monument to showcase where it's located, so you can figure out where you're going. And they're also, before I forget, they're adding Super Nintendo Land. This is the park where we'll have Super Nintendo Land.
Yes, it will.
Let's be honest. That's actually the main reason they're building a third park is because Super Nintendo Land. Because they were added so it in, it. And you, it was they made it in Hollywood Universal, and it was part of the main park. But with how Universal Florida is set up, they actually had to build an entire new area, outside of the premises that they normally have. So that's why they have to do it on a different side. So you can't ride a Hogwarts Express train, sadly, to the new Wizarding World. But it's okay.
That's unfortunate.
It is.
That's okay. They'll make up with it, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But super exciting news.
Fabulous.
And best part, it gets released and opens next year. And if you haven't...
So we'll be up by the time I have to go.
No, exactly. So plan is, I'm doing a Universal trip this year. Next year, I'll do Disney. The following year, I'll go back to Universal to do all the new stuff. That way, the hype is down, so it's not going to be super crowded. I did that with Galaxy's Edge because everybody swarmed to Galaxy's Edge when it first opened.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah. And I didn't want to be in that crowd. But anyway, that's the big news that we had for this episode for Universal and the Wizarding World and everything. Super exciting stuff. I can't not wait to see the new merch they're going to be adding. And yeah, it's insane because if you go and watch the videos of them like building everything, it's crazy. They're like quarter way like done built. Like there's rides being tested already.
Yes.
Like it's insane on how fast they're building.
Where's that job application?
Yeah, right.
It's called industrial engineering. It's called a bachelor's degree or a master's degree in industrial engineering and a lot of luck.
I don't have time for that.
No.
All right.
No.
Nobody got time for that.
But let's get right into today's episode, which we are going over dueling. So, as a quick summary of dueling. So dueling is a formal practice in the wizarding culture in which two or more wizards or witches engage in combat under the conditions that only magical means could be used. So you can't use fisticuffs. I am sorry, that's not a thing. Fisticuffs.
But you can apparently use weapons.
No. Okay. Well, you can use magical weapons if you make them.
I think
I'm
you also
have that weapon. I'm alluding to the goblins.
Legs. Like the goblins using weapons. Well, they're goblins, though. They're not witch or wizards. So
at least you're not smacking people with a glove and saying, I'm dueling you.
You could.
Kind of like they did way back when.
You could, though.
I think they should. I think it's proper etiquette to smack somebody with a glove and then throw it on the ground to say this is now a duel. But I'm just old-fashioned.
Be careful not to fall into that Robin Hood men in tights thing.
Oh, that's great. Use a metal gauntlet.
Love it.
Use a metal gauntlet. Yes. So the combatants face each other and bowed as a sign of respect before they place themselves in a accepted combative position, and at the count of three, attempted to disarm, stun, injure, defeat, or kill each other in order to force submission, unless a winner would be decided. Dueling also existed as a sport in the same way that fencing is a sport in the Muggle world. Outside of actual combat, it could be turned into a friendly sporting competition.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Any form of fighting can... Almost any form of fighting can be considered a competition.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. It's like, not all, but some.
I had to think about that for a second.
Wrestling, boxing, self-defense classes.
Oh, yeah.
Jousting.
Lightsaber dueling.
Yeah, see,
which I taught
that is, and that is a sport in France. Just saying,
I love that.
Good for them. So, with dueling, there's a lot of history with dueling. So, sometime before 1984, a room was set aside at Hogwarts Castle to allow students to practice dueling. The marks of the walls and various spells were left as visible reminders of the dangers associated with the practice. Dueling outside of this environment was strictly forbidden, and the grounds for expulsion. So don't do that. During the 1984 to 85 school year, Jacob Sibling and Marula Snide were caught dueling over Marula's bullying of Ben Cooper. They had previously learned how to duel from the secret dueling book found in the artifact room. In response, Albus Dumbledore formed the Hogwarts Dueling Club under the supervision of Professor Flitwick and Jacob Sibling's head of house, to allow students to practice in a safe and supervised environment. The club presumably ended sometime before 1992. And this is...
That was a good club.
It is a good club. And this is how they introduced, like, the dueling mechanic for the game itself. Yeah. They did it through an update. And it's like, oh, dueling's becoming a problem. Hey, this... Here, we're gonna have this. And then, hey, now it's a game mechanic where you can duel other players that you normally don't interact with, because Hogwarts Mystery is a single-player game.
So was it like a PvP, or was it strictly NPCs? It was a PvP.
It's PvP. Oh. It's the only time where you have PvP in the game.
Interesting. Well, yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
And then during the 1990 to 91 school year at Hogwarts, Professor Cuthbert Binn had the 7th year History of Magic research famous and historical duels for his class, with his students having to research the subject in the Hogwarts library and then produce a written essay in class.
Homework?
Oh, yeah.
No one likes that.
There's always homework.
Essays. Always essays.
I want to write about it.
What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of have to learn, much like how you study like wars and armies and tactics that way, if you want to be good at being a general.
So I'm going to choose to look at it as like the wizarding equivalent of a samurai. You have to be like, you know, able to write a haiku.
Yeah. Haiku.
Haiku. Oh my gosh. So during the 92-93 school year, Albus Dumbledore allowed the Defense Against the Dark Arts professor, Gilderoy Lockhart, to start a dueling club at Hogwarts, perhaps in part because he saw dark times coming in the wizarding world and therefore need for training students in the art of battle. Professor Lockhart taught the formalities of dueling, bowing, holding the wand in a certain way, and flourishing the wand in the attack.
And the bowing is definitely kind of like fencing.
Yes.
They do. Yeah.
And we all know how that class ended.
The best. We watched him get shoved back. It was awesome.
Yeah. And then Harry getting, like, not so good vibes from it, too.
I guess that's important. I'm just thinking about Lockhart and how it ended for him.
Of course, you are.
That was exciting.
Because no one who likes Lockhart. I don't know many people who like him.
No.
He's in Hogwarts Mystery, by the way, if anybody wants to know. You can meet him in Hogwarts Mystery. And he's as annoying in that game as he is in the film and books.
Joyful. Yes. It's a joyful experience.
When I first met him, I was like, please to God, why? Anyway,
I have a joke about the Lockhart, but I can wait for later.
All right. So Harry found himself 2 years later facing Voldemort in a desperate duel to the death. Voldemort used the Imperius Curse to force Harry to bow and obey the other niceties of dueling. Harry, who had learned to resist the Imperius Curse, used the moment to duck for cover, although he later successfully dueled Voldemort using the one spell he learned from Snape during Dueling Club, the Disarming Charm.
Yes.
Which is
that was his sign, wasn't it? Like his telltale sign was disarming.
Yeah.
That's how they knew it was him.
Mm-hmm. It's sad that when I first saw the movie, because remember, I saw those movies I saw the first couple of movies before I started reading the books. It's mm-hmm. sad that when I first saw the movie, there was a part of me that when Voldemort showed up and he was like, now, Harry, we must obey the rules. I'm like, well, I respect that. He's got a code about him. Then I was like, no, he doesn't at all.
Then you learned.
No. And this is the one like big thing that the movie doesn't portray from the book is that Harry learned how to resist the Imperius Curse.
Mm-hmm.
And fun fact, he learned to, like, freaking resist it by Voldemort's own subordinate. Yeah.
In terms of table.
Kind of like, oh, crap, I did this to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, that's later in the series. That's how Harry was, like, how they noticed Harry out of all the Potters during the moving of Harry, the beginning of Deathly Hallows. The foretell sign was because Harry doesn't go for the kill. He always does disarming or stuns.
Yes.
So the following year, Harry began teaching dueling techniques as part of the Defense Against the Dark Arts student organization, Dumbledore's Army. He started off easily with practicing the disarming charm that he told the group, specifically a disbelieving Zachariah Smith, that the charm actually saved his life during his first duel with Lord Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. In the freaking you don't see it because it's in the books, but the like the I can just imagine Zacharias like mouth wide open when he's like, oh, that spell saved you? What?
Wow.
Yeah. It's like a
My character in Hogwarts Legacy, that was my opening combo as well, was Expelliarmus.
Mm-hmm.
I especially dug the fact that you could upgrade it to where once you've knocked something out of their hand, you can then grab it and hit them with it if mm-hmm. it was, you know, an actual weapon. I had way too much fun with that.
Awesome. My kids,
because my wife and I were both playing the game at about the same time, and my kids would sit here and watch when I played. And I asked them why, and they said, Daddy, it's more fun when you play it. You fight more pretty. I was like, what does that mean? They said, you just do more things. Mommy just does the same couple of moves.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like two different gamers right there. Mm-hmm.
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 So Harry was so successful and instructive as a teacher that some of the students thought he had fought well against experienced Death Eaters in the Battle of the Department of Mysteries. Some of them used the same dueling skills against Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle aboard the Hogwarts Express on their way home from Hogwarts, and when they tried to assault Harry, resulted in his friends hexing them into looking like a bloated slugs. That's also something that we don't get in the film, which is freaking hysterical. Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle go after Harry, try to bully him like they normally do. And Dumbledore's mm-hmm. army, like, raises up out of their seats and, like, freaking all, like, stun and hex all three of them all at once. And it's like, oh.
Maybe you should think twice.
Harry, you sure you don't want to be the teacher of Defense Against the Dark Arts?
You're doing a better job so far.
Members of Dumbledore's army proved themselves to be valiant duelists in the subsequent battles of the Second Wizarding War, the Battle of Astronomy Tower, Battle of the Seven Potters, and the Climactic Battle of Hogwarts, where many of them even managed to hold their own against seasoned Death Eaters such as Bellatrix Lestrange. Professor Flitius Flitwick was rumored to be a champion duelist. Is unknown if this is true or not, or if it was, whether he was a champion of some particular competition. Which is highly hinted that he was, specifically in like Hogwarts Mystery. Like the first like offensive spell you learn is Expelliarmus from Flitwick, and the way he talks to you about dueling and everything kind of shows and hints like, oh, he knows what he's talking about. This Flitwick's not just like, you know, here to teach standard charms. He knows what he's doing.
He's got some experience behind him with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a smaller target. I bet he'd be great in a duel.
Yeah, his hitbox is much smaller than the average person.
Heck yeah. Yeah. He's got to be great to do it.
The term warlock originally referred to a wizard who was trained in dueling and martial magic, as well as those who had performed feats of bravery.
Bravery. There's no L.
Yeah. Words.
Mm-hmm.
During the fall of 1995, the ministry is trying to get other countries to sign the International Ban of Dueling. Percy Weasley, in particular, was working to get the Transylvanians on board. It is uncertain if the type of dueling was the same as the sport variety, or if it was referred to the more lethal Pistols at Dawn variety of duel.
That one. Pistols at Dawn. Heck yes. You're speaking my language.
And yet another appearance by no one's favorite Weasley.
Yeah.
I learned some fun words to say about him that I won't say on this podcast recently.
Oh, God.
So that was fun. But anyway.
Fun fact, I could have met him this past year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So where I live, we have a Harry Potter themed like fair for like a weekend once every year. And I didn't know this, but like I didn't attend, and I've been wanting to go. But they actually get some, like they always get at least two actors from the films to mm-hmm. come in and do autographs and signings and whatnot. And this past year they had Crab, the actor for Crab, and the actor for Percy.
Which one was it, the first or the last Crab actor?
Or not
like towards
Crab?
He changed.
No, Goyle. Then it was Goyle then. Or no, it was Crab. It was the original Crab.
I thought both.
It was the original Crab.
It was original Crab. Okay.
But cool. No, Crab was in the. It was stayed the same. Goyle was the one that changed, I thought.
And they didn't change.
I thought both of them did.
But they didn't. They actually didn't like change him. They actually just wrote him off out of the film. Like they actually didn't change. Like it wasn't Crab and Goyle like in Deathly Hallows. It was Crab was there. Then the other person, the other actor, was a completely different character.
Right.
Who's in the books? He like his character's in the books. They just wrote.
Maybe that's what I'm.
They just wrote Goyle out of it.
Okay. Good to know.
So, yeah. Or I might be mixing up Crab and Goyle. Like, it was
they're
one of them.
One and the same. Sorry to say.
They are, sadly.
Thing one and thing two.
Right. There you go.
So, a full-on wizard's duel was something incredible to behold. The duel between Dumbledore and Grindelwald in 1945 was legendary, and the duel between Dumbledore and Voldemort in the Ministry Atrium at the climax of the Battle of Department of Mysteries was equally spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And then many duels involve nonverbal spells for speed, but saying the incantations aloud seemed to be preferred if it was time, Voldemort using verbal spells in his duels with Harry. And the shield charm was one of the most common dueling spells.
I can believe that.
I wonder why.
Oh, well, couldn't imagine.
Potego. Other spells typically used in dueling included stunning spells, the independent jinx, the full body bind curse, and the dancing feet spell. Harry used the disarming charm in dueling and could be considered somewhat unusual in a more serious and life-threatening situations, but the spell was actually one of the key spells to any duelist's arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So you said the dancing feet spell, and the first thing that went through my head is that scene from the third Back to the Future?
Oh, I was thinking Footloose.
Well, either way.
I was thinking Looney Tunes, so I guess we're all there we on go. Different pages. So, yeah.
We all had the same idea, just we went in a different direction with it.
Fancy feet work.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Aspen wands were favored by those who inspired to be top duelists. In fact, a secretive 18th century dueling club called itself the Silver Spears because they were exclusively used aspen wands. Some other wands for dueling included red oak and rowan. Yu wands were feared in duels for their association with curses and evil magic.
My wand isn't any of those.
Same.
Bummer. Oh.
My wood is beech.
Mine is holly.
Beech wood with a phoenix core.
Mine's a phoenix core as well.
You know, I feel like I did the test online at one point, and I just don't remember what they all were.
See, I know I because my wand is like the wand I it's an Ollivander's wand. I can use it at the Wizarding World.
God, I just gotta go.
just mine's go one there. From Ollivander's, but it's a replica of my favorite character.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Nice.
Is that Harry's?
No, it's
Sirius?
Sirius oh, okay. Black.
It's hard to tell my favorite on video.
For the entire franchise.
Mm.
Great character. And then winners of dueling competitions include Alberto Toothill, winner of the All England Wizarding Dueling Competition in 1430, famously overcome the famous Samson Wiblin with the blasting charm. I'm curious with this. If it's the blasting charm, what happened to Samson? I want to know. Was he blasted?
Favorite.
Was he blasted? That's all I need to know.
I bet you he was.
I looked up the description if you want me to tell you.
Oh, gosh. Oh, it's
Confringo. Blasting curse is just Confringo.
Yeah.
Oh. Well.
So, I mean, you could.
It causes the target to explode, so.
Yeah, so he's gone. Anyway, Elizabeth.
He's no longer with us.
Well, that didn't end well.
Elizabeth Smudgling, who won the title of Supreme Dueler in a famous Dartmoor contest in 1379, using a spell that would be possibly her own invention, the Disarming Charm.
Ooh.
I wonder what spell that is. One. What is that spell? I never heard of that spell before. What?
Never.
I think it's Let Go of Your Weaponess.
Oh, oh gosh. Oh no.
Drop it.
Just but do the tith at the end and it's just that just makes it sound Latin.
Or you can put the us at the end of it, but I'm not quite sure how to say that either.
I recently had a really funny conversation with my daughter where I had to explain how if you pay attention, if you know your vocabulary and, you know, look at the words, that they often will just be descriptions, you know, of what it is supposed to do.
True.
Latin's great.
Watching the look on her little face when I was explaining, like, you know, that means this and blah blah blah, and she was like, it all makes sense. I'm like, yeah.
Well, with that note, we are going to take a quick mid break and we will be right back. All right, welcome to the middle of the show, and thank you, Wendius Bark, for chatting in for the first time. I appreciate it. And tuned in and found me through Bat Knight here.
Yay!
So,
trying to help.
Here, we want to thank everybody who supports and listens to the show. We really appreciate it, and we are actually almost at 20,000 downloads, believe it or not. Super close. Where I know we're over a 16 or 19.6 or something like that. It's been crazy. And we just been growing at a rapid pace, and it is phenomenal to see the engagement that we're getting for the show. And also, if you want us to help support the show, there's a few different options that you can do so. You can find us on patreon.com/WizardingWorldLoreCast, where you can get ad-free episodes or even have a chance to join us on the show once a month. You can support us on Apple or Spotify if you leave a five-star review on Apple with some words. We'll read that out loud the next time on the show, as well as a Spotify comment, which we do have one from our last week's for the Christmas one from our good friend Bjorn. Great episode, guys. Loved it. Who wouldn't want to spend at least one Christmas at Hogwarts? And you know, that is true. Like, I would love that. And like, just be like, just think going, because if you go down to the Wizarding World in Universal or Hollywood, they actually decorate the entire Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley for Christmas. And they use fake snow.
I guess that's just going to have
to... They actually do put out fake snow as well.
Oh, which I guess that's going to be as good as it gets. We're just going to have to go there.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you can also find us on a few different Discord servers, the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net, as well as my own Discord server, the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. And you can find us live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/Ben of Temeria. And just tuning in and or even just lurking, having the show in the background really helps us because I'm trying to get affiliate status and I'm close. I'm over 1.9 or almost at 1.9 of average viewers out of 3. So I'm getting there. Just a bit
more. Getting there. Yeah.
So every follow, every watch helps and supports us. It really does. But other than that, I have nothing else to add. Nina, do you have anything to add for the midbreak?
Not for the midbreak, nope.
All right. Well, let's get right back into dueling. And look at that. Right out of the mid-break, we have the dueling effect with wand. Because it's great.
Almost like that was intentional.
Whoa, ooh. No way. So
don't act so surprised.
Oh, it's so much fun. But
you did do that well though.
Right? Whoa. But so surprisingly enough, dueling has rules. Can you believe that? There's rules in dueling in the Wizarding World? What?
Yeah, so what separates it from a duel to a brawl?
Fair. So there were rules and customs that define how a proper duel was performed and that were normally known to wizards and witches born in the magical families, even at a young age. For instance, Ron Weasley told Harry Potter some of the rules of dueling as a first-year student at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry after Harry was challenged to a duel by Draco Malfoy in 91. In the 92-93 school year, Goodwillie Lockhart formed the dueling club in which dueling strips were used in a system similar to that of modern fencing.
Mm-hmm.
Fun, and that's another thing we didn't get in the film that the book had, is Harry actually was, like, literally had the intention to duel Malfoy in his first year.
He just kind of wrote him off.
Yeah, it was a trap. Really. It was a trap set by Malfoy and whatnot. But Ron, like, volunteered to be his, like, second, just in case, in the off chance Harry died. The second is there to take their place.
Just another normal day, first year Hogwarts.
Right.
Again, I feel the need to point out, not all Slytherins are jerks.
I know.
True. Well, it just goes back to like, oh, Hogwarts is the safest place, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, and you go look and like read the books or watch the films, like, is it though?
You said that, and the first thought that went through my head is, according to who?
Yeah. Dumbledore, are you're joking yourself. When is this safe?
When? I don't know if it's just because they have a great hospital wing.
screw it. Like, it's safe on the terms of, oh, we don't have massacres.
Well, in that case, lightsabers are perfectly acceptable ways to battle because everyone has back-to-tanks in that world.
Yeah.
Fair. So now in a formal duel, one wizard or witch challenged another, although it's implied that duels were not commonplace in modern polite society, and the other person accepted, they then arranged a meeting time and place for the duel. Draco challenged Harry this way in their first year, though it was really an attempt to get Harry into trouble for being out of the dormitories after curfew. Opponents bowed to one another before beginning the fight, as Lord Voldemort reminded Harry Potter before the duel in the graveyard of Little Hanglington in 95. And Lockhart went as far as twirling his hands while bowing, possibly trying to make himself look more gentlemanly. However, duelists who did not respect their opponents would not usually bow correctly, as Snape simply jerked his head, while Harry, Draco, and Voldemort barely bent their heads at all.
I mean, to be fair, I wouldn't want to take my eyes off of Voldemort or Draco.
True. That is true. And Snape just doesn't give.
And oh, no. Snape just...
He doesn't
care. I don't think he was really worried about Lockhart to begin with.
Let me rephrase that. Snape doesn't care for Lockhart.
Yes. That's exactly right.
If it was anybody else, he probably would have put a little bit more effort into it. But it's Lockhart.
I'm curious, how much of, do you know how much of the whole, I heard somewhere or read it somewhere that, like, you have to maintain eye contact? I mean, they mentioned that in Sorcerer's Stone. How much of that is consistent? Because it made me think that that would be a reason why Voldemort would do things like in that battle against Dumbledore, where he would do stuff like the fire dragon or whatever. It's like, well, that was a distraction to get you to blink or to look away.
I mean, it's probably common to keep your eye on your opponent at all times, just in case they do something crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like magic. Wanting to blind your opponent during any type of fight, like if you throw sand in their eyes or get some type of debris in them, because they're not going to be able to see your wand movement either. Like, just because you have verbal commands, like, you also learn from wand movement. So if you're not watching them, then you're obviously going to miss something that way. I don't know how true. I mean, I think it would just be common, or not really common, but just a logical thing to do when you're battling somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I just love the fact of watching, you know, like two good wizards dueling back and forth. I love having like deflect spells with their wands and everything. That just looks so awesome.
Very dramatic, theatrical.
Yes, which we learned real quick in Hogwarts Legacy, where not all wizards in the world use wands.
Yeah. Which I think is wild. It's a wild concept.
I love that interaction with Natty. It's great. Oh, yeah, and Wackadoo, we don't use wands. I was like, what? He's like, but I've been learning how to use a wand. And I just love, like, you. Everyone here is so dramatic with wands, and it's like, I can see why people appeal to them now.
Yeah, such a flourish. It's so cool.
Yep. Heck, even taking your own wand to Universal and be able to do things with it is amazing, which I haven't experienced. This is just me hoping to experience it this year.
Hopefully.
But anyway, on to seconds, which I discussed a little bit ago. Duelists often have a second in a formal duel, a person, usually a trusted ally, who would act as a replacement for one duelist if necessary. Ron Weasley volunteered to be Harry's second in the aforementioned planned duel with Draco, who chose Vincent Crabbe.
Shocker.
Right. And then there are limits to duels. Surprisingly. Hey,
I don't believe you.
Fair. There are a standard rule in duel that only magical means could be used in a fight, an opponent, and that was to be no physical contact, which WizardCon refers to as muggle dueling, between the duelists. Millicent Bulstrode broke the rule when she dueled Hermione Granger in 92 in the dueling club. The much larger girl ended up wrestling Hermione to the ground and holding her in a headlock.
I mean, Hermione was kicking her butt.
True. But that doesn't
the only other way to restrain it.
Hey,
no.
I'm going to tackle you and put you in a headlock. Because
no, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying I can kind of understand why she would. If she's not winning by magical means, she could definitely overpower Hermione.
Oh yeah.
Plus, I love the irony as a pro wrestling fan that, you know, it's considered disrespectful for you to pull in a foreign object as opposed to just using your hands and feet and body. Whereas in the wizarding world, if you are using your hands, feet, and body, that's the disrespectful one.
Right. So the parties of a duel could also agree to other limits unless they were planning to duel to the death, which was only common practice in a war. For example, Minerva McGonagall informed fellow professor Horace Slughorn just before the Battle of Hogwarts, if any Slytherin attempted to sabotage their defense efforts to fight them, they would duel to kill, which alarmed him. This may indicate that duelists generally agree not to use particularly dangerous and or illegal spells, such as the Unforgivable Curses.
Which would make sense, especially if you're doing it as a profession.
And, like, it made sense when McGonagall said this to Slughorn, because they were literally right about to face Death Eaters to the death.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as these Slytherins get in our way, we're going to aim for killing. Like, this is war.
Yeah, ain't messing around.
Now, to Bat Knight's defense, not all Slytherins are evil. Because not all of them went to the dungeons. Just saying.
Mm-mm. It's true. We got you.
I will say, I really wish they put in the deleted... I wish they did the deleted scene in part two of Deathly Hallows where Draco tossed Harry a wand. Like, I love that, to where it showed Draco's like redemption.
Yes. Yeah, it's a shame.
So, and then there's also practice duels. So duels could also be used for training purposes, as the case was Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, which had a club that students could join to hone their skill in magical self-defense, led by Professor Flitius Flitwick, which occupied a room where in the dungeons of the castle where students engage each other while overseen by a teacher. Any damage done to it was left unattended to, so the students could see them and remember the implications behind the act of dueling. And then practice duels is also commonplace at Dumbstrang Institute, where martial magic was a prominent part of the school's curriculum.
Martial magic? I wonder if it's just a fancy way of saying dueling?
It is. Yeah. It's like martial arts for the wizard world.
So, yeah, it's saying martial arts in our term, which is, you know, hand-to-hand combat generally.
Right.
Where martial magic would be fighting on magical terms.
I guess martial.
I could be wrong, but I believe. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I guess martial in my head was just like a form of hand to hand. Like that's what it meant, was using physical means.
Mm.
But I
believe
could
that
be
word
wrong.
Martial my actually
terminology
means
of the
like
word
combative.
Martial.
Yeah, martial is typically for like combat, essentially.
Okay.
So combat all magic, right. Combat arts. So.
Combat. Okay, that makes sense then.
And then,
thank you.
Last but not least, we have notable duels. So we have the Umbra Tooth Hill versus Samson Wiblin, All England Wizarding Duel competition in the 1430. And Umbra Tooth Hill won the competition using Confringo.
Mm-hmm.
We have Ermic the Evil versus Egbert the Edgerlurious. Egregious words.
I'm hearing a pirate's quote in my head. It's pronounced egregious.
Egregious.
Thank you.
Okay, egregious.
Duel
between
Ermic
the Evil and Egbert the Egregious. Battle for the Elder Wand. Egbert defeated Ermic and became the master of the Elder Wand. It should be noted that he was the only known wizard, apart from Albus Dumbledore and Harry Potter, to defeat the predecessor of the Elder Wand in a duel.
Hmm.
We have Albus Dumbledore versus Gellert Grindelwald. Dumbledore intervened when Grindelwald tried to kill Credence at the Walk of Quinlan, which broke the Blood Pact. He and Grindelwald began dueling and transported to another dimension to protect everyone at the scene. They dueled until they reached a stalemate and departed. Which is the scene we get in Secrets of Dumbledore.
Yes.
Which is a really good duel scene, by the way.
Oh, so good.
And we also have another duel with Dumbledore and Grindelwald. Arguably the greatest duel in the history, Dumbledore confronted Grindelwald, a powerful dark wizard who possessed the Elder Wand, who was gaining power in the wizarding world in 1995. Dumbledore defeated Grindelwald, who was subsequently imprisoned in Numengard, in what witness described as the greatest duel ever fought?
1945.
What did I say?
55.
You
said 95. Oh,
45.
Oh. 1945.
There we go.
Towards the end of World War II.
Yes.
Because that's where all this stuff is happening. Because
mm-hmm.
that is why everyone is fighting. So, but yeah, a lot of fun. Dueling. Obviously, you can experience dueling yourself if you play Hogwarts Legacy. There is a dueling club, and generally, that's literally most of the entire game because that's combat.
Yeah, that's all you're doing. dueling.
By God, it's so much fun.
It is.
I'm
so
curious.
Fun.
Did any of you guys use any of the unforgivable curses in Hogwarts Legacy?
So
I did.
I didn't. I learned them.
Oh.
Because I thought they were part of the achievement to get, learn all the spells, but mm-hmm. they're not. But I still learned them.
They're not.
They're not, which is a bunch of baloney. But I still did the quest because you get an achievement through that.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely did.
My wife kept telling me, she's like, I'm not even going to learn those. I don't want them. They're unforgivable. I'm not playing. She was very role-playing in this. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'll learn them. She's like, why? I said, well, because how can I properly defend against them unless I learn them?
Oh, you're a whole Mad-Eye, well, Barty Crouch, but Mad-Eye.
And like, I will admit, I only ever used one in the game.
Okay.
And that was never against a humanoid, or it was never against a, what's the word? An intelligent opponent, only for like beasts and animals.
Oh, that's fair.
Crucio. The only one I ever used was Crucio, and that was if it was a beast or something.
And honestly, the creatures are the ones that you have to deal, like, if you're going to use any curse, it's going to be on a beast because they're typically much stronger than any wizard. You can easily take down a wizard in like one or two combos, but if you go against like, you know, a Graphorn or a troll, you're going to be there for a couple minutes.
Yeah, but I still had my honor code. If I was going against another wizard, I never used an unforgivable.
Oh, there you go. See, and okay. That's the best thing about Hogwarts.
I just didn't have an honor code, I guess. I don't. So my logic behind it was, I'm already killing them regardless. It could have been with
it could be with an unforgivable or not. They're still dead.
Yeah, I could have been throwing a barrel at them and that was going to be the end of their day, but I don't.
No
I don't
one
know.
Dies
I wanted in this
day.
Know.
They just get really big boo-boos.
Yeah, go listen to our Unforgivable Curse episode. You'll notice, like, through that episode, it's like, why are these unforgivable? Because in Hogwarts Legacy, you're killing people left and right without even using the curse.
Exactly! And it was really handy when you were in a big boss fight and you had a whole, I can't remember which one it was, but you're like, you're fighting them nonstop, and I'm just like, I just need one gone.
Right.
And that's what the killing curse did for me, so it was fine.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, I mean, that's honestly the best thing about Hogwarts Legacy is they actually added the fact there, hey, you can learn these or you don't have to learn these. Now, if you don't learn them the first time around, Sebastian can teach you later. Like, you can he can teach you whenever you want. It's not like you're locked out of it or anything, but like role playing aspect wise, like it's really cool that they actually added that into the game. I really like that.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was really cool.
There was something else with dueling that I was going to say, and I can't remember now.
You're welcome. I just had to talk about my non-existent honor code.
Go to Universal when Death Eaters are out. You can duel Death Eaters.
Oh my gosh!
What? Oh, did you not know they have Death Eaters that walk around the park at night sometimes?
No.
Yeah. Especially during October. During October, they have Death Eaters, and like you can actually like duel them. Yeah, it's really cool. And like I've seen a video where they inducted somebody and into the order of like the Death Eaters and whatnot. And what was really cool. So this is side tangent. Sorry, everyone. I've seen a video where somebody proposed, and there was Death Eaters around, and made them do the Unbreakable Vow.
Nice.
I love
and
that.
I was like, that is amazing. I love that so freaking much.
Aww.
That is amazing. And then, by the way, now my TikTok feed is literally all Universal stuff. Literally my entire TikTok feed. And I was like, do you really want me to go to Universal?
Yep. They're watching you on your phone and making sure that you're going.
So, but yeah, a lot of fun. Dueling's great. Go play Hogwarts Legacy because it's great. And yeah. So before we leave, Bat Knight, do you want to shout out anything that you do, or you want to final thoughts or anything like that?
Well, final thoughts is, yeah, I really need to make another trip down to Universal. I always said if I was going to live in the Wizarding World, I was going to be an Auror. This is my chance to prove it, man. as far as in, you know, our current world, the only thing I got going for me is right now is I stream on Twitch as of this moment. It's on Sundays, Mondays, and Wednesdays, but, you know, things may change. And if they do, you can follow me on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube. It's all daddy_batknight with a K. And whether it's a subscribe, a follow, or just hanging out, I refer to everybody as a fellow knight of the gaming table, and I wish them all a great day and a night.
Awesome. And Nina, before we leave, we have our trivia.
We do. I'm excited. So last week
we got responses. I saw.
We did. Thank you, everybody. That's really. It really means a lot that you're being engaged in this. I thought this was going to be a great opportunity, and you're definitely proving that it is. So last week, our question was, what dark magical being is present at Professor Slughorn's Slug Christmas party? So I got a lot of responses. I'm going to give the incorrect response because Bionni thought it'd be funny and say Cormac McLaren. And it's definitely
Cormac
not
McLagan?
Yes, sorry. I must have
Cormac
typed it wrong.
Cormac McLagan, yeah.
Autocorrect. Anyway, so it's not that one, but good try. But
he is a dark creature. He is a dark creature.
He is, but not the right one we're looking for.
Bat Knight. Go on. Did you have another one?
No, I have three people who did give me the correct answer, okay. Which was Johnny A. Fig, Terry the Terrible, and Kay Allen. But
Bat Knight, do you know the creature?
I
know
did
what
actually.
It is.
I guess I wasn't on the list because I took too many guesses, but I did eventually get there.
This is true. And I knew you were going to be here, so I was waiting to see if you were going to have a response. But you did get the answer. But what is the answer, Bat Knight?
Vampire.
Vampire. Sanguini is the dark magical being that was at the Christmas party. So thank you everybody for responding. I really appreciate it. But this one that I have this week, it's not a question, it's a whose line is it anyways?
Ooh.
So I need to know who said this line. And I thought it would be kind of funny because we're talking about dueling and you have to flourish your wands about. Anyway, this is the line. Just because you are allowed to use magic now does not mean you have to whip your wands out for everything. Who said that? I'm going to say it one more time. Just because you are allowed to use magic now does not mean you have to whip your wands out for everything. So just like last week and the time before, send me a response in our Discord and I will shout you out. But let me know who said that line. But other than that, I just want to also thank you, everybody who's doing the downloads. I can't believe we're almost at 20,000 just in the first month. That is amazing. Thank you so much. And until next time.
Yeah.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. And remember, the wand chooses the witch or wizard. Thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net. You can find us on the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. You can also find us on Twitter at WWLorecast and even email us at wizardingworldlorecast@gmail.com.